Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are concluding our study today in Exodus chapter 32 and this event of the golden calf where the Lord has sent Moses down. They have come on a wow worship service and the Lord has condemned it. It has been full of idolatry. They have been worshiping a golden calf. The music was so loud, so rambunctious, so wild, the dancing, that they couldn't even distinguish it from war cries. And so now we get to the big issue here of who's going to take ownership of this, who's going to confess this mess that's happened. Where is there going to be sincere confession? Aaron here becomes the representative. He's the one who was leading the people. He was the one who constructed the golden calf. And so Moses here confronts them. Aaron here is held up as the representative, because he had led them into the sin. Verse 21, "And Moses said to Aaron, 'What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?'" So Moses confronts Aaron. But did you notice how Moses addressed him? "What did they do to you that you could do this?" I find that very interesting. I can't help but apply that to leaders and pastors. Pastors are going to have to give a great account for their work. Pastors are going to have to give an account for what they've done and the way that they have led God's people. If they've led them in the truth, or have they become men pleasers? And pastors feel, and everyone should know this, pastors feel an incredible pressure from people to cave to their wants. I mean, just think about today, the church environment. Everyone's doing everything, and everyone right now is into being at the top, and who gets the greatest draw, and who has the best program, and who has the best building, and who has the best this, just to get the people. And who has the best Sunday show, and who has the best this. I mean, it's just endless, the stuff. And today, if you have a struggling church, the people have their ideas of what are going to make the church work, and that pressure is great. Will the pastor stay the course? Will he preach the word in season, out of season? Or will he tickle ears? This proves that we as pastors are prone to give in easily. Trust me, the big thing is we are constantly approached with issues that deal with people justifying patterns of sin. And we have the pressure. Will we act on the word and recognize somebody's going to get mad or become men pleasers and cave? Aaron totally compromised. Aaron, what caused this? How could you do this? Now, I said yesterday, what should Aaron have said? "I've sinned, Moses. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I confess it. I don't hide it. I just did the worst possible thing I could have done for their souls and mine. I repent. I ask for grace not to do that again. Lord, thank you for caring to send a mediator to grind my idol to powder and to make me taste it so that I may turn. Forgive me." That sounds good. Is that what we have? Let me rehearse the three things Aaron does here today to show how he avoided the confrontation of his sin. Verse 22, "So Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot.'" Wait a minute. How do you understand that? How about like this? "Moses, get your anger under control. Back off. Get off my back. You are way too worked up about this." Sound familiar? Someone comes to you and has a burden about your behavior, or you have a burden about somebody else's behavior and sin, or maybe it's a spiritual leader, and you go and approach, they approach, and what is always, always, always the initial response? "What are you talking about? I am shocked that you're suggesting that about me." Wait a minute. You're the one with the problem here. You're mad. Then where does it go? It moves. That doesn't work. How about this one? You know the people, that they are set on evil. That's a shift. A moment ago, he says, you're mad about nothing. Now he's saying, the people did it. They made me do it. You need to be going after the right people, not me, Moses. Does that sound familiar? That's how it goes, isn't it? When sin is exposed, you begin with trying to cover it. You try to downplay it. And then if that doesn't work, you blame. You blame it on somebody else. They're the ones that have done it. Why are you approaching me? You need to go after them. Then what is the final tactic? Verse 23. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. Listen, word for word, that's true so far. But then Aaron says this. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Oh, brother. Let me understand that, Aaron. You're saying you just threw the gold into the fire, and that beautiful, state-of-the-art, chiseled, molded calf popped out? There it was. Boom. Thing just came out all by itself, formed in the fire, and fell into my hand, says Aaron. Dear listener, we are masters at denial. I am a master at playing the blame game. But you know what? It doesn't change at all the fact of what God sees. And he is the one to whom we have to give an account. And he doesn't waver on what the truth is. What did God record that Aaron did? Aaron took it from their hand, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. It didn't just pop out. See the painful denial there? You know, I don't find it any coincidence that it was Aaron's sons who were later judged for breaking the commandments of the Lord in worship. Nadab and Abihu did not honor the Lord's commands, and they were killed by the Lord. Why? Because in the home, what we see is that they were taught, the father himself taught, to make all sorts of excuses to do the same thing. Have you seen the bigger picture here? God made the heavens and the earth good. 6 days, he rested the seventh. What happened after that? The fall. God comes, confronts Adam and Eve, and what happened? Tell me if this sounds familiar. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, was this confession time? No. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. None of this, oh God, is our fault. You know, it's interesting. 6 days, God rested the seventh day creation, and then the fall happens. Since chapter 25 of Exodus, 6 times he gives the construction, and the Lord said, building the tabernacle. The seventh time, he gives the Sabbath, and then what happens? Israel falls, and the representative says, it's not my fault. Dear listener, God didn't have to put up with any of this. You know, we continue to do this, but he had planned, before all this even happened, to send his beloved son, Jesus Christ, to pay for sin. But listen, Jesus has come to save us from it. All of our idolatry. He has committed himself to grind them to powder. And the extent to which you remain today in denial, if you're a Christian, you will taste the bitterness of it in your life. This is our problem. If we cling to our idolatry, you're not going to be a very happy person. You see what we do, though? The question that the text probes to us today is, do we see our idolatries in our hearts? Listen, there's no deliverance for those who think they are healthy. Jesus said that over and over in the Gospels. I came not for those who are healthy, but for those who are sick. Are we making excuses in our lives to preserve our idols? I'm going to tell you right now, they don't fill you. If you are the Lord's today, if you truly believe the gospel, you know what he calls of you? Calls of me? To confess our sins. Seriously. To get on our knees and confess. And he promises that all those who come to him, he will by no means cast out. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, says 1 John, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is so wonderful. You know what's going to be proclaimed here in Exodus chapter 34? The Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You know, isn't that just wonderful? That the way that God has revealed himself in his word, even to sins like this, is that he is a forgiving God, a merciful God, a gracious God, a long-suffering God. He's always abounding in goodness and truth. He's always keeping mercy for thousands. He's always forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Psalm 103 says he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. You know what he wants from you today? No more hiding. Be open. He wants your heart and will have them as he grinds your idols to powder. That's how good he is to you. He's committed to grind your idols to powder. When we know him like this, our song is not about us. Our song is about him, his glory, his truth, his covenant faithfulness. And guess what? You know, one of the only other times we read about music and dancing in the Bible, you know where it is? It's this. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Do you know what that was? That's the parable of the prodigal son. The son had fled, finally came home. And what did the father do? There was music and dancing in heaven. You see, that's what the Lord is reminding us here today. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needed no repentance. Oh, let us repent today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church in Linden. We would love to have you join us for worship. If you visit, please introduce yourselves to us as coming from the radio program. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LondonURC.com is the website. We are committed to preach the word in season and out of season and show the riches and the glory of Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.